Proverbs chapter 6 tonight. We'll be on part 4 of our series on these six things doth the Lord hate. Got to start fitting some of these in. Start our soul winning seminar in the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday evening, no service with family fellowship. So we're going to jump back into this series tonight. Proverbs chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift and running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house this evening. Just ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say. And I just ask you, Lord, just to take your word and speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, tonight we're looking at part 4 of our series on these six things that the Lord hate. And our emphasis tonight is an heart that deviseth wicked imagination. We see an emphasis here. The emphasis is on the heart. There are three tiers here, as I would call it. The heart is at the root of it all. The heart devises the wicked imaginations. And then it's the wicked imaginations that devise the wicked inventions. So God hates the heart of the individual that devises wicked imaginations. See, God knows the heart. Man cannot see someone's heart. Man cannot know that within a heart there are wicked imaginations. Now, someone in this room could have a wicked imagination, and I not know it, and you not know it, because we cannot discern the heart. So the heart must reveal itself. We as human beings have to take what we see and trace it backwards. We're always trying to get to the root. While God already knows the root, God saw the origin, and God knew it was going to come before it ever happened. And God hates the heart of wicked imaginations. Have you ever seen some new wickedness, perhaps, and wondered what kind of mind came up with it? Sometimes we'll catch a headline or maybe a commercial for a new movie coming out, and Sarah will say, "Who could have come up with that?" Just think of how dark their minds would have to be to even be able to come up with that storyline. You know, a lot of horror movies, and I'm not talking about the old suspense movies. We've gone a long ways from the days of Alfred Hitchcock to some demonic movies. A lot of horror movies today are so dark and deeply dark and twisted, and it's not of God. It gives psychos ideas for crimes and further feeds their twisted minds. A lot of these lyrics to songs today are straight out of hell. The devil used people to write them. He's using people to sing them, to perform them. He uses people to market them, to sell them. And people get all up at the spout where the devil pours out, and then they act like the devil in the process. Wicked imaginations has a great part in ruining our country and our young people. Now, I remember even back in school, and I didn't know anything about it at the time, because we didn't have cable when I was growing up, but I remember all the kids were talking about MTV, 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 MTV. That's all they were talking about, coming to school, talking about MTV. I'm like, what in the world is MTV? And then once I got up to the age to realize what MTV was, it's like, good night. 7, 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, 11, 12 years old, watching MTV. I couldn't get over it. But the wicked take their imaginations and they turn their imaginations into inventions. And as a result, many things today are accessible that are contributing to the moral decay of our country. When you think about imagination, imagination means the power or faculty of the mind by which it conceives and forms ideas of things, communicated to it by the organs of sense. conception, image in the mind, idea. Now, I do want to say this, having an imagination is not a bad thing. In and of itself, I see the imaginations within my sons. I've looked out at times into the backyard to see what they're doing and see what they've built, what they've put together. My wife has an imagination in the kitchen. The imagination translates into food on the table. God has given us an imagination. But in order to bring something into an existence, you take an imagination. And an imagination travels from the mind to then become something tangible, something that you can see, you can touch, you can taste, you can smell. Imagination becomes a manifestation. Now, if you're a builder, you imagine it first. When I'm getting ready to put something together out in the shop, I'm before I ever even go to the hardware store, I already got in my mind what it is that I'm going to do. You imagine it first. Any inventor imagine it first. They saw it first. And God has given us the unique ability to take ideas, frame them together within our minds to see how things could be and should be. God also equipped us with the ability to carry out these imaginations. But as with everything that God has done, the devil and mankind seeks to corrupt it. And God hates wicked imaginations. And he hates the heart of wicked imaginations. He hates it when mankind takes the heart that he's given them and they corrupt that heart with wicked imaginations. God hates it when man takes what he's given him and uses it for wickedness instead of his glory. Wicked imaginations produce wicked inventions. And the world then has access to wicked inventions. Think oftentimes about these X-rated video games and movies and music and magazines and websites, and we could go on and on tonight. They are manifestations of wicked imaginations. People today, the only thing they care about is what can we do, not whether or not should we do it, or is it right to do it, or is there any type of moral standard that we should live by? They just say, here's what I'd like to see, and they go and contrive it. They go and make it happen. And it's amazing that oftentimes these wicked imaginations that have translated into wicked inventions, there are people in bondage to them. And since the devil is the one that is behind the wicked imaginations, he's also in part in its invention. They're tools that the devil uses to enslave people to his will and plan. Now, from our verses tonight in Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, if you remember, what caused God to destroy the earth in the first place, the first time in the world, worldwide flood was this, Genesis 6, 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So they're in Genesis, prior to the worldwide flood, saving none but Noah and his family. There was the sin, this was the sin of the populace right here. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They were so wicked, they didn't have any good imaginations. Could you imagine being one of eight people in a world that had no good imaginations? Could you imagine being one of eight people in a world where every thought was only evil and evil continually? I can't imagine. You take a trip and you see the billboards and you see stuff going down the road. I cannot imagine. As bad as America is, it's not as bad as the world was pre-flood. I could not imagine living in a world that every thought was evil and evil continually. As a world, as a nation, we are guilty of wicked imaginations even tonight. Another time, God didn't destroy the world, but it was a city, a very familiar city, Sodom and Gomorrah. The following is a description of Sodom. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom, pride, fullness of bread, abundance of idleness was in her and her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And they were haughty and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw good. We see a couple of cases. One example where the whole earth was destroyed. Another where a whole city was destroyed. Over what has been found in this list here in the book of Proverbs. You know, we have to be reminded tonight that sin has consequences. We need to know and be reminded tonight that even in America, we tread on thin ice with God. In our world, we tread on thin ice with God. He's still being long-suffering right now, not willing that any should perish, but one day it'll run out. He's long-suffering, but not forever suffering. He will return, and judgment will begin on those that remain. Again, we're looking at an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Now, I believe that a lot of these that devise wicked imaginations are reprobates. Now, only God knows who a reprobate is. But this is what I believe. When you look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 30, we'll look at verse 18, but I encourage you to read it later on. But it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." This first verse here is the key that unlocks the rest of this passage. The wrath of God is revealed. That means it's made known. Against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, here's the key, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Many people are in judgment right now and they don't recognize it. They blaspheme God's name, they mock him, they curse him, but don't even realize that the God they're mocking let go of them a long time ago. The God they say they're refusing has already refused them. And as a result of refusing him one too many times. Notice it says who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So they hold truth. That means they know what it is. They hold it in unrighteousness. You know what I believe tonight? I believe Judas rejected Christ his last time at the Lord's Supper. Judas left that supper a reprobate. Jesus gave him over to the devil. Judas went out and hung himself, and the Bible says he went to his own place. When we think of Romans 1:18, who hold truth in unrighteousness, was this not Judas? Judas knew all that Judas needed to know to be saved, while being the definition of hold the truth in unrighteousness. Judas became the very definition of a reprobate. He held the truth. He possessed the truth, but only in unrighteousness, which means Judas knew truth, but Judas never allowed truth to know him. We know from John 8, verses 31 through 32, that truth is a person. Judas knew Jesus inside and out, but Jesus never knew Judas. Matthew says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." These today that fall under Romans 1:18, even if they don't have a Bible, they have one before God, because if they wanted one, they could still go get one. God would not hold them guiltless. In this passage, we have a glimpse of a doctrine that I believe firmly in. People that reject God time and time and time and time again by going against the conscience that God has given them, and they do it enough times, God will let them go. He'll give them over to themselves. He'll take his hand off of them. And once God does this, a person has crossed a line that no man or woman has ever been able to uncross. They will never get saved because the Spirit of God is knocked on their heart's door the last time. I've said this before, I stand by it. I don't believe being given over to a reprobate mind is a particular sin, but it's a position. It's a place that one arrives at after telling God no too many times. And the scary thing is, any time that someone tells God no in terms of salvation, it could be their last time His Spirit draws them to salvation. And the Holy Spirit of God is involved in salvation and the drawing of the heart to Himself. No drawing, no salvation. A whole lot of people today, they think, I can wait all the way up until my deathbed, or I can wait till later, and I can do it. It don't work that way. If it was only up to them, then it would work that way. But it's not only up to them. Some say that all sodomites are reprobates. I've heard many believers say that. Well, Paul lists abusers of themselves with mankind in Corinthians and says, such were some of you, but you're washed. Some may say abortion. Well, abortion is murder, yes, a shedding of innocent blood. God especially hates that. We've already looked at it. But Moses committed murder. Now, anytime when you use the word murder, then it's somebody that did not essentially deserve to die. Any other time you use the word killing, some people need killed. They just do. You don't use murder for that. We have enemies of our nation and enemies out in the world. And tragically, I hate to say it, because they're an enemy, they need killed. But we don't use murder for that. Moses committed murder. David committed adultery and then murder to try to cover for his adultery. So I believe being given over to a reprobate mind is a position, it's a place that one arrives at. And I do believe with all my heart that today there are people walking this earth here in the U.S., here in Jacksonville, Texas, who have crossed the line and been given over, and their condemnation's already set. Now, it is a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing when someone knows truth and they hold truth in unrighteousness. It's a scary thing, because I know people. I know people that they know all the truth they need to know to be saved. They know all the truth they need to be saved, and they're still lost. They know everything they need to know to be saved, and they're still lost and have been for years. I worry about them. I wonder if they know that ship has sailed on by. I wonder if they know that God has taken His hand off of their life. I believe a lot of what we see today in headlines and on the news is the behavior of reprobates, those who have been given over. Some of the stuff we see, I don't know how one could go that far in defiance from God and not have been given over. But oftentimes I'm reminded of Paul. I'd have probably preached a message if I was in the first century church against Paul and named him by name. If there would have been a reprobate in Scripture, I'd have said, that's one, Saul of Tarsus. That's the biggest reprobate we got running around. He was persecuting men, women, boys and girls, children, whole families, grandpas, grandmas. I'd have said, that man right there is a devil of sorts. He has to be. It's a fine case of a reprobate. I'd be surprised if the church at that time didn't even maybe mention him by name from their position of preaching, but God saved him. So that's why I emphasize, we don't know. We don't know who's been given over and who hasn't. So that's why we witness to everybody. That's why we tell everybody about Jesus. A very similar term is heard a lot today. Who are the protesters and who are the agitators? See, we don't know who the reprobates are from those that the Holy Spirit would knock on their door for salvation. So we still witness to all of them that we can. See, the danger of assigning reprobates to a certain sin is that it limits the power of God over any given sin. We could say all reprobates are involved in that sin, so God has never saved anyone from that lifestyle. And the danger of assigning reprobates to a certain sin is that if we adapted that mindset and saw someone who obviously lives that lifestyle, we would withhold the gospel from them because of a faulty belief structure. And that's why I have fought against this. I have fought against this for the gospel's sake. I cannot tell you the stuff that I have heard from believers about those who they consider who can't be saved because they did something or because they vote a different way than they do. Oh, that person, they can't be saved because they voted for that person. There ain't no way. They're a reprobate. Everybody on the side that voted again another way than us is reprobate. I've heard people say that stuff. So in a lot of ways, and I preached the whole message one time just defending the gospel. Because literally, you go to this group, they'll say this group can't be saved. Then you go over here around this group, this circle of fundamentalism, they'll say this group over here can't be saved because they did this. And then if you listen to all of it, no wonder a lot of our churches aren't doing anything with the gospel because we've allowed faulty belief structures to get into our minds about who can be saved and who can't. There are people out there who are so prejudiced. They don't believe black people can get saved. There are people who are against altar calls if there were black people in the church. That was a church that I'm familiar with personally. Somebody got upset about it. One that I was in. Somebody got upset about it. That's a whole people group. That there would be people out there that would say they cannot be saved. Now you wonder why, at times, by and large, many of our churches have sat down on the gospel. Because we've allowed faulty belief structures to get into our minds about who can be saved and who can't. And I tell you what, you follow that rabbit hole too much, and what you conclude to is the only people that can be saved already has been. You follow that too much. Yeah, you're right. You're the only one that can be saved. You right there. You're the only one. Now, another thing is we're nearing a close. Wicked imaginations all stem from making provisions for the flesh. Romans 13:14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The lost world cannot put on Christ. They have to have Christ inside to put him on. And all they do is make provision for the flesh. Their flesh, it rules. Their flesh reigns. In the Marines, we were trained in what was called MCMAP, the Marine Corps Martial Arts Program, but we had a slogan, one mind, any weapon. As we bring this to a spiritual conclusion, one flesh, any wickedness. That includes our flesh. One flesh, any wickedness. One mind, any wickedness. One imagination, any invention that you and I could think of. I used to watch prison shows a good number of years ago. I don't anymore. For whatever reason, I don't know. I guess it was just too much of real life, I think. And it was like, I don't want to watch people at their lowest points in life. I don't see how that's entertainment. But I used to. And it amazed me at what people thought of that had all day to be left to their wicked imaginations. The imaginations and inventions that came from literally the least suspected items. There are things that they do with things in prison that's never even crossed your mind, and you got some of the stuff in your house. And it's never crossed your mind to do with whatever that is, what they've done with it. And some cells are literally about empty for a reason. If you give them anything, they'll harm themselves or others with it. They'll make drug paraphernalia. It's wicked imaginations. They run wild. Wicked imaginations bring forth what they've been planning out the whole time. And then it spreads. You think of drugs, wicked inventions, wicked imaginations. Every year, oftentimes even throughout the year, another drug hits the streets that somebody's thought up, somebody has imagined, and they've made it happen. And then law enforcement starts scrambling to see how it was introduced. It's wicked imaginations. All this liquor today, God made fruit for our consumption, many other reasons. Then someone discovered if it ferments and you drink it, you can lose your mind for a bit. Then they told someone. Now it's a real pandemic. Wicked imaginations. They take what God meant for good and twist it. They take what they want to consume upon their lust. They invent something to scratch their itch, so to speak. Wicked imaginations lead to wicked inventions. And it's all a trap from the devil to enslave people. Wicked inventions. It's all over the place. Leave your house, go to the store. You're going to see something wicked for sale. It's the way wicked inventions. And again, it's from the devil to enslave people. So when you read Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. And then our emphasis tonight, an heart, an emphasis on the heart, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I love how the Lord puts the root at the heart. Sometimes we focus on this other stuff up here. We focus on the invention. We focus on the imagination when Christ is focusing on the heart. If you get to the heart, you get to the root of the problem. The imagination's going to change, and so will the invention. But God has to change hearts. And he wants to do that through us. He wants to use us with the gospel. Because it's the gospel that saves. It's a sanctification that changes people from who they used to be to who God would have them to be. And I know around here it's not as bad as some other places. I've been to some other places. Some of y'all have traveled. You're not native to here. There's some places it's real rough compared to here. But I've said it many times, the devil would have what's out there in some other places right here. That's his ultimate goal. You look at the worst place in the United States, he'd have nothing more, desire nothing more than for Jacksonville to be that. All right, let's pray. Lord, as we come before you.